Lecture 1, 11-day spiritual retreat. I let the light in me really shine forth. This is the 11-day spiritual retreat here in Campo, California, and this is one of our 11 lectures, and it is on the theme, I let the light in me really shine forth. How do we let the light in us really shine forth? Many times we are concerned about having the light shine forth, and we try to figure out how we're going to do it and how it's going to be done, and it's a very difficult thing to conclude for ourselves. We say, how do we let it shine forth? How do we let the light come out? How do we let it be known that we have this light in us? Well, have you ever noticed people who like themselves, who go around with a smile on their face, who go around looking for good wherever they go? Have you ever known people like that who go around looking for happiness wherever they are? You say it's sort of like the Pollyanna thing, you know, who is always looking for things that are beautiful and good, even where there's not so many beautiful and good things to look at. But think about it. Have you ever noticed how people do that? How some people do that? And some people are just the light of life, just the light of everything. We have a young man who has been visiting us recently, and his name is Charlie. And Charlie is a most unusual person. He was married, and Charlie was, I think he's 88 or 89, something like that. And his wife was 93, something like that. And she was 15 years older than he. And she died at 93, right?
94, yeah.
Yeah, so 94. So that meant that he was 79. So he's 79 years old, 15 years younger than his wife. And he and his wife lived together for 10 years as married couple when they found each other, and they were just delightful, just as happy as can be. Well, Charlie is a fantastic fellow. He likes to be outgoing. He likes to command the performance. He wants to command the attention of everybody wherever he is. If he's in a group, he is the conversation. If he's in a group, he directs which way the conversation is going to go. If he's in a group, he'll ask a few questions that will cause him to give answers. He'll ask questions that will make you want to answer the question, and you can't do it, and so he answers it for you, because he knows that he was going to do that. He is the light of his world. He is, I let the light in me really shine forth. Now, what is the way that Charlie lets the light really shine forth? Charlie lets the light shine forth by just being his own fantastic self. He likes himself. Now, there are people who don't like him. There are people who don't like him because he's competition for them. And he causes them to have to think a little bit, have to work a little bit. But as for Charlie, he is a very lightful fellow. Wherever he goes, his light shines. He's in a restaurant. And instead of being concerned about the table he's sitting at alone, he turns to the people at the next table and starts a conversation. He starts a conversation with the waitress, totally not germane to the business of serving food, but to something else, something that is very charming. You have such good taste in clothing. My goodness, your family must be so appreciative of how good you look every time you put on any clothing, because you have a lovely body, you know. And he can say these things, you know, being 79. And so he does say these things and just has a good time. Now, he's letting his light shine. Now, you say, well, I can't do that. I'm not that outspoken. I'm not that outgoing. Well, if you want to let your light shine, you got to be outgoing. If you want to let your light shine, you have to let it out. Now, there's a little boy who is in Mr. Candle Talk. And the little boy is playing in the yard. And he's playing in his sandbox with his little fire truck. And his fire truck is roaring around here and roaring around there and going here and going there. And then one of his friends came over. Not a very nice friend, but a friend came over who had been giving him a lot of hard times. And the friend says, "Can I play with you?" I said, "Sure." So the friend gets in the sandbox and plays too. He says, "I don't have a truck. Can I play with your fire truck?" "Sure, here." And so he plays with the fire truck, and the kid sits there, and he builds mountains, and he builds canyons, and he builds all sorts of things with the sand, and that he doesn't have his fire truck doesn't bother him at all. And so it comes time for the little boy to go home for lunch, and the boy says, "Well, I got to go home for lunch now." And the young man says, "That's fine. Come back, see you after lunch." And he says, "Can I take your fire engine?" "Sure." "Can I have your fire engine?" "Sure." And so he goes home with his fire engine, and he can have it. And so the little boy goes in the house, and his mother says, "I saw what you did. I saw what you did. You gave that little neighbor boy your fire engine." And he says, "Yeah, so?" "And you gave him the fire engine because you knew that his mother just died and that he was kind of unhappy and he was feeling very mean and very terrible because, you know, he missed his mother so much, and you just gave it to him because, you know, you just loved him." "And yeah, sort of, yeah, yeah." The little boy wouldn't say this. "I don't think I had all of those grand ideas about why I gave it to him, but I just gave it to him because it made me feel good. It made me feel good to give him my fire engine." And so the mother said, "You are something else again. You are so beautiful." To her son, she said, "You are so beautiful," because he tuned in and let his light shine and let his light be a blessed light for the neighbor boy who was going through a kind of a tough situation. Now, there are many ways we can let our light shine. There are many ways that we can be a light unto the world. I let the light in me really shine forth. I let it shine forth every time I forgive somebody. When I forgive somebody for doing something stupid, when I forgive somebody for doing something dumb, when I forgive somebody for forgetting. Oh, is that right? You think that's really letting your light shine through? That you could even think that you have a right to forgive anybody is just beyond imagination. You have no right to forgive anybody. You have no right to think that you have a right to forgive, that you should even be in a position to forgive somebody. If you're forgiving somebody because they spoke unkindly to you, you say, "I forgive you for speaking unkindly to me." You do not. You say, "You spoke unkindly to me, but I still love you." That's not forgiving. That's recognizing the person did something unkind and not being upset by it. Not being oblivious to it, not being immune to it. Immune, yes, by being not being untouched, by being touched by it. But the thing is, you're oblivious to it. This does not enter into your thought system as something that's terrible. And if someone does some terrible thing to you, you just say, "They did some terrible thing. That's life, you know." And then you go on. And then the person comes back into your life again, and they are thinking, "I did this terrible thing to her. Now, do you think she'll forgive me and let me come back?" And then she comes to you and she says, "Sybil, I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have acted that way. I really shouldn't have acted that way. Can you forgive me?" And Sybil says, "I saw that you acted unkindly about something, but I figured you had a hurt in your heart, and it must have been something that disturbed you very much, or else you wouldn't have talked like that, because you don't talk like that, because you're a wonderful person." Now, she didn't forgive her. She just told her that she's not touched by those things. She's not going to be burdened in her heart, in her life. She's going to let her light shine, and her light is going to shine so brightly that it just washes away all these other experiences in life that might be negative. Now, how do you let your light shine to be a spiritual master? That would be a fun thing, wouldn't it? How do you let your light shine to be a spiritual master? You let your light shine to be a spiritual master by being on top of all things. Now, you say, that's a big offer. Okay. How do you be on top of all things? You say, I know that I know that I know the divine in me knows the answer. I know that I know that I know the divine in me knows the answer. I know that I know that I know the divine in me knows the answer. So some situation comes up to you and you say, let's see, shall I turn right or left here? And you say, I know that I know that I know the divine in me knows the answer. Okay, I think I'll turn left. And so you turn left and it turns out right. So you turn left and it turns out wrong. And you say, that's not what I wanted. I said, I know that I know that I know, and I turned left and it turned out wrong. Now, why did that so happen? Then you go back, retrace your steps. You say, okay, I'm going to go the other way. So you go the other way, and the bridge is out. The divine in you did know that you had to go the other way. You shouldn't go that way because the bridge was out. But you weren't listening to the divine within you. Now, did you stop and say when you found out that that wasn't the way you wanted to go when you went the other way, what you should do? You've come to a point. Okay, now which way do I go? There's several ways that I can go. Which way is going to take me to Campo, you know? And so then you just say, there it is. There it is. We had a young lady who visited us here from Ghana, West Africa. And she came with her brother. And her brother was not too happy about the organization that his sister was visiting. And he knew nothing about it. So he was against it. And being against delivering her here, even though he was driving her here, he took all the wrong turns in the road. And he took a turn coming up to our northwest gate, which we never use, and we just leave it locked because we don't go through there. And he couldn't get through. And one of the neighbors was out hunting rabbits and came up to him and said, what do you want? And scared the living daylights out of him, you know, with his gun and everything. And so he quickly exited. And then he came in another gate, and I guess that didn't function either. And so finally, we got him in. But you see, when you have a negative attitude about something in life, you're going to create yourself all sorts of obstacles to keep you from accomplishing the things you think or say that you want to do. And we do this all the time. But when we let our light shine, when we let our light shine from within, and we know from within that all is in divine order, then we know what to do. Now, Sybil is running the Villa of God Unlimited. It's the Church of God Unlimited down in Nigeria. And she has a house full of people, church full of people every Sunday and on other evenings. And these people come in, and she says, oh, if I could only let my light shine. If I could only let my light shine and be a beautiful being and just share with these people what I believe and what I know and what I wonder about, if I could only do that. And so as she does that, a challenge comes up to her and says, somebody is unhappy. Why do we do this? I want this and I want that, and you should do this and I should do that. And Sybil looks at them and says, you know. And the minute Sybil looks at them and says, then she's dead. She hasn't let her light shine. If Sybil would look at any person who comes to her, no matter what they would say, and say, good goes from me, good comes to me, good goes from me, good comes to me, and then speak to them, she would have the perfect answer. But why would Sybil have anyone come into her awareness, into her organization, who is not harmonious with the organization in the first place? Why would you have anyone come into your world who was not harmonious? And that's because you were afraid of letting your light shine. Now, every day, it takes a little bit of concentration, you might say, to say, I let my light shine, I let my light shine, I let my light shine. And you say, oh, this is boring, this is too much, you know. It's like Irene in Switzerland tells us that she's working on her affirmations and she's working on this, and sometimes, a little too much, you know. And I say to her, it's never too much. When it gets to be too much, then you're getting somewhere. If it's not too much, then it's just going and going and going. When it becomes too much, then you're aware that it's too much, and all of a sudden you say to yourself, I don't like it, I don't like it. then is the time to keep going. That's what's called getting your second wind. And when you keep going, then all of these things flow out. All of these things flow into perfect divine order. We've driven along many times, and Ellen is always letting her light shine. And Ellen is always saying, I have my perfect parking place. Whenever Ellen goes to town, she says, I have my perfect parking place. And Ellen says, okay, I got my perfect parking place. And so she went to the Board of Equalization for the county of San Diego, the state of California, in San Diego. And as she went to the Board of Equalization, she stopped as she entered the parking lot, and she said to someone, you know, which is the Board of Equalization building? And they said, oh, it's up there. And thank you very much. So then she went to a parking space, and a man pulled up behind her and said, are you going to park? She says, yes. He said, well, just a minute. I've paid for it till evening, and you can take my parking place. And she says, oh, thank you. I'm going to the Board of Equalization. He says, yeah, I heard that. It's down there. It's not up there. And so, you see, Ellen lets her light shine. She doesn't need to, so to speak, know within herself all these things. She does. But she lets her light shine so that people come into her life constantly revealing to her all of the things that she chooses to know. Now, do you let your light shine so that you can reveal all things to yourself? When you do that, then you're really being one as all. Now, how does Ellen achieve this? Well, Ellen is a sparkly lady. Ellen is a dynamic lady. Ellen accomplishes everything she wants to accomplish on the first time around. Ellen, now, I got Ellen to do what I didn't want her to do. And Ellen says, don't I wish?
Go ahead, Ellen.
Oh,
go
that
ahead.
Was a go ahead?
Go ahead.
Okay. As long as it's a go ahead and not a don't I wish. You see, when you have don't I wish, then your light's not shining. Then you got problems. And when you have go ahead, keep it up, keep it up. People say lovely things about you, and you say, hey, that's very nice of you. You're very thoughtful. Anything else you want to say? Anything else you want to say? Well, what do you want? Do you want everything? Sure. You're such a beautiful person. You're such a thoughtful person. You're such a joyful person. Everything you say just means so much to me. When you say something, it just means so much to me, you know? And what are they going to do? They're going to continue saying beautiful things. And it's a really beautiful thing. I have a young man who is interested in finding a new flame in his life. And he's been looking for this new flame, and he's a happy guy. But the thing is, he has one difficulty. And his difficulty is that he does not think that he is worthwhile for another person to love. He does not think that he is the most wonderful guy in the world. So he will have many women coming through his life who will like him until they find out he doesn't like himself. Now, the minute this guy begins to like himself, he's a likable person, but the minute he begins to like himself, he will have to pick and choose among the many beautiful women in his world. But so long as he doesn't like himself, he keeps his light from shining, and his light shines a little bit in the beginning, you know, but then after a while, it goes out, and he has to stop, and he has to realize, now what am I going to do? How am I going to let my light shine? And so he calls me, and he says, Herb, how am I going to let my light shine? I said, well, the first thing that's necessary to do in letting your light shine is what? Anybody know?
To know that you have a light.
I am the light.
The first thing in letting your light shine is to be yourself and have fun. Okay. To be yourself and have fun. If you're not yourself and having fun, your light is going to be sort of a blah, you know? Mm. It's not going to be, you won't see it, nobody will see it. When Rex comes up to me on the path, and he sticks his nose up at me, and sticks his nose up at me, and sticks his nose up at me, what he's saying is, Dad, it's time for another hug. And so I bend down and I surround him with my arms and surround his chest and his shoulders and his legs and so on. And he just stands there wagging his tail saying, "You got the message. You got the message, you know." Now, how did he communicate that to me, that he wanted to be loved? Well, he sort of signals these things. And he sort of walks between my legs and says, "Grab a hold of my rear end there and pat it and rub it down, you know, and give me a deep rub and just play with me and like me." And then I say, okay now, let's go. We want to walk too, you know. We can't spend all our time loving. He says, "I can." But you see, when you are lovable, you are loved. And Rex is so lovable, he is loved. And of course, I'm so lovable that Rex loves me too. You know, it's a two-way street. But the thing is, when you like yourself and be yourself and have fun, then you're doing everything that you could possibly do to live a happy, healthy, fulfilled life. But until you like yourself and have fun, you won't make it. You won't make it. And the reason you won't make it is what? You're trying to be something that you're not. Whenever you try to be something that you're not, you're going to fall flat on your face. And it's going to be a silly thing to do, and certainly not very beneficial for you. How can you go around letting your light shine, being yourself and having fun? Really let your light shine. Are you able to be a Charlie who goes around saying all these beautiful things? And like Charlie, Ingeborg didn't come with Sylvia and Ellen when they were helping Charlie to help Dorothea move in her apartment there. And so Charlie says, "Now we've got to send Ingeborg a little gift." So he buys her the most expensive strawberry cake with chocolate coating on it, you know, like what do you call that, that puts over chocolate cones, this fudge icing, you know, and cake too, and brings it, sends it to Ingeborg. Well, Ingeborg looks at it, and Ellen says, don't do this, you're going to do that. Don't do this, you bend it. Don't do this. Then let me do it. Ellen wanted to open it herself, you know. She didn't want to let Ingeborg have the fun of opening it. She wanted to open it herself. And so then she finally got it open after I told her how to slit the sides and take the two little pieces of scotch tape off there. Then she opened it, and she showed it to Ingeborg. She says, "Oh, but you can't have it just yet. We got to cut it, and we got to do this." And Ingeborg says, "I don't mind taking it right the way it is." Yeah. But you see, Ellen said, "But we all want a piece of it. We all want a piece of this big old cake." And Ingeborg just sat back as the queen and let Ellen do all the work, and she just waited, and she was served the lion's share. And she enjoyed it thoroughly, but she wasn't concerned. She knew the gift. It came to her that Charlie had sent it for her, he had meant it for her, and that she was getting it, and she was having it. Now, yes.
Very strange. The same day I had, after lunchtime, I had such a strong feeling, the desire for a cake, and the cake arrived.
Well, that's a matter of putting your thought into Charlie's motion, huh? But that's beautiful. Now, this is important for us to realize that we are always the creators of our world, and that we create our world by our thought, and that when we like ourselves and be ourselves, be ourself and have fun, then wonderful things happen to us. But if we don't like ourselves, if we don't be ourselves, then we are having all sorts of difficulties. And the reason that we're having difficulties is because we are trying to play a game that we're not really ready for. Now, are you ready for playing the game of being yourself and having fun, Ingeborg?
Yes.
Are you ready to play the game of being yourself and being whole and perfect in every organ, action, function of your body? Are you ready to hold up your chest and pull in your tummy, throw back your shoulders and you're up with your chin and say, "I am fantastic, I am glorious"? Get up and walk around for us a little bit right now. Now, are you going to let your light shine? Stop giving in now. Come on, move it. Now, let's dance. Come on, let's dance. That's right. Hey, great. Oh, my goodness sake. Look at how you do that so beautifully. And you forgot all about trying to be a mannequin that's working with a crutch, you know. That's great. Now back up and go do it again. Let your light shine. Now walk straight ahead. But up, straight ahead. See, 1 foot out in front of you. Right straight ahead. Right straight ahead. Right straight ahead. Turn around and now walk back. Come on, walk back. Well, backwards is good too. But walk straight forward now. Ah, yes, I see that. Your one knee sort of bends in toward the other. We'll have to break that over to put it on the other side. Now bend down and touch the floor. Touch the floor with your hands. That's great. Now stand up. Now bend over backwards and touch the floor with your hands. Thank you. Miss Ingeborg. You see, now, Ingeborg, did you notice that when you forgot about yourself and you just sort of danced there, that your dancing was just lovely? You like yourself, you're being yourself, and you're having fun. You let your light shine. You let your light shine, you let your light shine, you let your light shine, and that's who you are. That's who you are. You let your light shine, and that's just how wonderful you are. Now, are you good? Do you like yourself? Okay. Can you see how simple it is, and just a little thing like walking? Start walking. Start walking. Now, when Seville was walking the path this morning, Seville was walking with her chin up and her chest out, and she was just walking just like a strutting wildcat, having a great old time walking along that path. And of course, I noticed her doing that because that's what I was doing. And Ellen noticed her doing that because that's what Ellen was doing. And Rex noticed her doing that because that's what Rex was doing too. And you see, Love and Button perhaps were too, but the thing is, we let our light shine. And in letting our light shine, we felt very good. When we walked the path with our chin up and our chest out, shoulders back, hold it on, hold it on, you let your light shine, you feel fantastic. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about, letting your light shine. Now, be yourself and have fun. Can you do that?
Yes.
Now, have you started walking the path yet? Are you supposed to not do it yet or do it?
It's too far.
All right, are you walking back and forth on the concrete here?
No, I come down to the Hermitage.
Oh, you walk all the way down the Hermitage?
Yes.
Oh, that's good. And you walk all the way back?
Yes.
And down and back and down and back and down and back. That's great. Now, do you walk with your chin up and your chest out and your tummy in? And like you're going to dance?
Quite staying.
Well, then act as though you're dancing, team. Act as though you're dancing. I think we'll have to make the path a little different there because there are some slippery parts on the path. And that's not intelligent for you to walk on that slippery path.
I have a stick.
Yeah, good for you. I have balance, and I sometimes sail down on one foot, you know. But it's just intelligent. I let the light in me really shine forth. Now, do you want to let the light in you really shine forth? Let's just pretend that you're from the life and teachings of the Masters of the Far East, okay? And let's just say you're Emil, or Jess, or Jethro. So we'll say you're Emil, okay, or Emil's mother, okay? Now, what would Emil's mother do in looking at that path?
Just in looking at you makes it straight.
She would look at the path and do what?
See it straight. Perfect.
See it perfect. Would she see any steps in the path?
No steps.
Just the smooth running.
Yes.
Now, I am independently wealthy. And I am independently wealthy, and I'm thinking now, I'd like to buy a nice piece of land for Mark with an airport on it, you know, and have a nice buildings on it, nice houses for him to live in. And then I'd like to do a little work around here. And the first thing I'd like to do is maybe put a concrete strip or a matcadam strip all the way around the property, you know, all around the outer limits of the property, a real nice road for walking on. And then a few pathways inside. And then run Far Valley Road straight out and beautiful concrete ribbon, you know, and wide as a highway, you know. And then do another one for Las Montañas and Kaleo.
Kelly Laredo.
And then buy some land straight from here, right on through Art's property, right on through the property, right straight on down, and then have a straight old road going right straight down to the Shockey Truck Trail, just for us, and then have a wall on each side of it so that it's just for our use. And you get on there, and at the beginning of it would be an electronic gate, and people just talk to the gate, and we would open it, you know, and it would work. And wouldn't that be neat? Straight in, so any delivery people could come straight in, and the mail lady could come straight in, or mailman, or whoever it is, and, you know, beautiful, beautiful. So, wouldn't that be fun?
It is fun.
It's done.
Now, can you visualize this path? Perfect?
Yeah.
Go for it.
I can also visualize a straight path or a street when we come up the...
You can visualize what, Ingeborg?
When we come from town, there before the veterinarian, not to go all up, but to go straight to cut it out and shorten the way.
From La Posta.
Yeah, La Posta.
To here.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I see that too, that it comes straight on through, yeah. But you see, those are things when you like yourself, when you're letting your light shine, you do those things. Oh, that's childish stuff. That's kid stuff. You don't do those things. Oh, yes, you do. That's what you dream. That's what you think. And that's what you let your light really shine forth on. Because when you let your light really shine forth on, you see people say, you're crazy. You're crazy. Oh, watch my craziness, you know. You'll see as dreams come true. You'll see as the miracles take place. You know, you go to visit Seville in the middle of the jungle where she lives, and she has houses all around her which have dirt floors, and her house has a nice concrete floor, a nice floor that serves her purpose very well. And she has a very nice house, and she has a very nice wall around her property which gives her privacy and so forth. And it's just beautiful. Now, what is Seville thinking of doing? She's thinking of buying the neighbor's property and putting her wall around there, and buying the neighbor's property here and putting it, and buying the neighbor's property there, until all of a sudden she has a great campanile, just like the Kennedys, you know. And then as she's doing this, then Seville is going to have a gardener, or two gardeners, you know, who take care of gardens in there. And they'll have lots of coconut trees and palm trees and all the other sorts of trees that they want. And then she will have a beautiful lawn over much of the area for meditation paths, you know. And then she will have underground electrical outlets here and there, so she can have lights along the path at night. And then she will have the wall made of a new type of material that does not is not affected by moisture and heat, you know, which the mold builds up on some of the walls. So that doesn't disturb your new wall of its new titanium material or fiberglass, whatever it is, you know. But it's just glorious. And, she's got all sorts of neat things there. Plus, she now has, right at the front entrance, an 8-car garage that she keeps all of her cars in. And then she has her live-in mechanic, who takes care of these cars, maintains them, polishes them, and keeps them in perfect shape, and makes sure that the tank's always filled with gas and oil and every other good thing. Now, and then in her house, she has a beautiful kitchen, like the kitchen that, in the house that I wanted us to have, you know, that big old kitchen. And that big old kitchen. And then she has two girls who work for her. They're working their way through high school, and they're working for her. And she's training them in how to be gourmet cooks. And they're doing just great on that. But you see, is that so impossible?
No.
What is the average wage of a person down there per day or a week? 50 cents? Very little. It's 50 cents or a dollar a day as much. Actually, it's $50 a month in Ghana that the medical doctor earns for his being a medical doctor, $50 a month. And our friend Sam Sasu down there, he has invited six medical doctors from India to come over and work in his clinic, and he is paying them $40 a month each. And you can imagine what they were earning in India, you know, absolutely amazing. So, and then they had people working on their hotel, and they're paying them something like 10 cents or 20 cents a day or something, you know, outrageous by our standards. But of course, things are less expensive there. They have to be, otherwise people couldn't live. But you see, that's logic throwing in there. If you don't have 50 cents, you can't hire someone to work for 50 cents. So Sibyl is independently wealthy. And Sibyl is independently wealthy because in Sibyl's mind, she can have as large an area as she wishes. She can have it all paved nicely however she wishes. She can have the water run off whenever the rain comes down in perfect way whenever she wishes. She can have the building, she can just snap her finger and the building, instead of being stucco, would now be this fiberglass that is untouched by moisture and humidity. You're saying, come on, Herb, this is silly. That's letting your light shine. And the more you practice on letting your light shine, the more you practice on letting these imaginative, outrageous, wild ideas flood forth from you, the more you practice it, the more you experience it. Now, it cannot happen in a vacant mind. You understand that? Miracles cannot happen in a vacant mind, because a vacant mind is not a dreamer. A vacant mind is not one that imagines, one that lets its light shine. For you to be a dreamer, for you to be letting your light shine, means you want to be a dreamer. You want to think these fantastic thoughts, think these fantastic ideas, think these fantastic ways of doing things. Now, how do you go about thinking fantastic ways of letting your light shine? By just doing it. Sylvia, if I said to you, you know how to do 2 times 8 is 14 times 97 divided by 64 plus 62. So Sylvia is not even listening to me. Sylvia is letting me prattle on here with all these numbers. And then I say, and what's the total? And she says 14. And I say, how'd you come to that conclusion? She says, I know God in me knows the answer. I don't have to do the figures. I don't have to figure it out. God in me knows the answer. Is that true?
Oh, yes.
That's true. Have we used that all the time? No. Can we? Yes. Should we? Yes. My goodness, yes. So we let our light shine by really pointing it onto things that work, pointing it onto things that are fun and things that are dynamic and great. First day?
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand that, Ingeborg? Okay. No. This is what we do. I let my light shine and let it really shine when I am in most imaginative, when I have the most wonderful ideas flowing through my mind, when I have the most wonderful thoughts going through my mind, because that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. And now just take 1 minute now. And do you think you have the capacity to think of your family, to think of your schools in which your children are going, to think of the job which you have or your husband has or your wife has, to think of the world and the climate, to think of rain, to think of weather, to think of this community, to think of its business, to think of the state, to think of the nation, to think of the world? Can you think of all these things? Can you think of all of these truly outrageous, imaginative things that are going on in the world? Now you say, oh, sure. But really, now let me just give you a new title. Your name is President Bush. You are President Bush. And so Sybil comes to you and says, President Bush, I would like that the United States would take over the oil program in Nigeria and make it into a a beneficial, prosperous activity for Nigeria, and leaving the major percent of its value to the Nigerians, but you taking a fair share for developing it and running it. And Bush would say, sure, I got men. Hey, Joe, call up so-and-so and then go take care of that, take care of that, and do it this way. And bump, 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 this time. And then he doesn't know what Nigeria has. He doesn't know that they're the eighth largest oil reserve in the world. He doesn't know all, but he knows that that question would not have come to him if he were not to have given it an answer. So he says, okay, my right hand, my oil man, check it out and see how we can expedite that and bring it about. And all she did was go to the President Bush and say, hey, could you? And he knew everything about what he knew on. You know what I mean? He didn't know oil. He didn't know that. He didn't know this. But he did know how to delegate authority, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so then Ingeborg goes to the President. He says, President Bush, my sister is in Germany, and she needs a tremendous operation. And the operation is only given in Washington, D.C. She has no place to stay. Could she stay at your house while she's here? And President Bush would say, Ingeborg, for you, anything, you know, anything. Now, can you believe that? Can you even conceive that? That's the most outrageous, most stupid, most asinine thing that you ever hear in your life. But that's the way it works. Can you imagine a man like Bill Gates being raised as a modest person and never having a lot of money, all of a sudden having a very lot of money, and in fact being the richest man in the world, and then he's a young man yet, and he is going to retire from his favorite business. He'll, I'm sure, keep his finger in, you know, but he's retiring from it. And he is going into the business that he set his wife up with, the business of being a philanthropic organization, giving out money to places where they can use it, you know. Now, he and his wife are going to work there together on that project. Wow. Wow. Billions of billions of dollars every year they give away. Now, to me, that was great. That's really something outstanding, that this man would let his light shine so beautifully that he could quit his business and go and do that, and truly do that. But what really made me aware of Bill Gates' light and how it shines is that the second richest man in the world, Warren Buffett, said he is giving all of his money to the Bill Gates Foundation and let Bill Gates find people to use it, you know, rather than he trying to find people to use it and not having people bug him to give him money, you know, as Buffett probably has and Gates probably has. Gates knows how to handle it. He says, Bill Gates knows how to do this and he knows how to do it well. I have utmost respect in him and blah, blah. And so now his philanthropic organization is one of the largest philanthropic organizations in the world and one of the largest single entity organizations that exist. Amazing, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Amazing. But could he have dreamed that? No, he just let his light shine all of his life, dreaming of the things that pleased him, dreaming of the thing that gave him happiness. That's all he thought about. That's all he was. No. What made Bill Gates so rich and famous? Being himself and having fun. He quit college. I mean, stupid. He only had a little ways to go. He quit college. But he had a dream that came along. And the dream was his projects and his IBM projects with the DOS program for computers, the very fundamental thing in computers, you know. And from there, he went on to programming and doing stuff like that. Just an amazing man. But you see, he always followed his dream. He always followed his dream, and he enjoyed it. Now, are you ready to follow your dream? Are you ready to enjoy your dream? Are you ready to do those things that are exciting for you? I doubt it.
No, done.
I doubt it. And you know why I doubt it?
Because it's done. It's shining already.
Because you think I'm crazy.
No.
I think you're very realistic.
You think that some of the things I'm saying are so far out that I should be careful the loony bin's going to come by and pick me up. But no, this is what makes the world go round. Now, just to go back to Jesus, just for the heck of it, Jesus said, "The things that I do, ye shall do also, and greater things than this shall ye do."
Yeah.
Are we doing greater things than he did?
Yeah.
Ellen?
Yes.
Ellen?
Yes.
Ellen?
Yes.
Could you say to a sleeping man, arise?
Yes.
Could you say to a dead man, arise?
It's only sleeping.
Only sleeping. Do you ever have any dead people in your world?
No, only alive people.
Only sleeping people. Arise, take your bed and walk, you know. Jesus was no fool. I mean, he didn't go against nature, so to speak. He just put a cause in motion. But could he have made a dead person come back to life? Yes, he could have, but that's not his choice. It's not our choice to do something of that nature, because it's your choice to die. It's your choice to leave. It's your but I was in an accident, and there are no accidents. Nothing happens by chance. Everything happens because you let your light shine. And so if you have an accident and you die, or if the little baby is born dead, or if it dies shortly thereafter, that's its choice. That's its choice. We could resurrect that child, as many doctors have done, but most of the time that's not too satisfactory a situation, because the child's choice was to die. The adult's choice was to die. The world's choice was to let it go and not be beholden to something of that nature. Now, can you do that? You say, sure, I can let somebody be dead. But can you let someone sleep awake? Are you going to look at them, and are you going to have your first thought that they're dead? And you see, if you have your first thought that they're dead, they're dead. Mary and Martha thought of their brother, what was his name? Lazarus. They thought, he's dead. And Jesus said, come on, girls, he's only sleeping, you know. I mean, this is a game. But he stinks. So he stinks when he's awake sometimes, too. You know? Yeah, yeah. But he's only sleeping. And can you walk on water? Jesus knew where the rocks were, didn't he?
No.
Can you walk on water? No.
Because you walk.
You change it. Change it to whatever substance you want it to be. You change it Illusions by Richard Bach. Remember there? He and Donald Simota were at this lake, and Donald says, I suppose you could walk on water too. And he says, yes. So he walked on water. And then he says, come on, Richard, you can too. And so Richard says, come on. And he did. And he tap danced on the water. But it wasn't water. It was hard as concrete. Because, in fact, it was concrete, you know. And then he said, okay, Richard, see you later. And so he dove off of the lake into the land. And he swam in the land. And he climbed out, and he was clean as a whistle. So he said, come on, Richard, dive in. Richard said, well, okay, hell with those and jumped, you know. And under he went. And then plush, 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 he comes to the top. And then he swam. He says, how did I get out of here, you know? Just think out. And so he climbed out, and he was all muddy. You see, he was the illusions he thought he was going to be. You know? He was the illusions he had in his mind. He was the illusions of dirt. So you're going to have dirt on you when you come out. Water, you're going to be wet when you come out, you know, and things like that. And this is what we are doing. We want to dream the wildest dream we can. And climb every mountain, you know. And as you do that, everything is available to you. But it means really letting your light shine, being yourself and having fun. being yourself and having fun under all circumstances, no matter how crazy they are. Being yourself and really being yourself. That's great. Are you ready for being yourself and having that fun time?
Yes.
Yes, I am too. I am too. And this is what we all can do and should do and must do. And this is what you are doing right now. Now, did you have any thoughts or any questions on that? Let the light in me really shine forth. Or are you all
the light.
Ready to walk in the light?
Yeah.
Be the light.
Walking in the light.
Letting shine.
Let it shine, let it shine,
yeah.
Let it shine.
These are things people are walking on fire right now because they're calling it cool wet moss. Yeah. And people are walking on water even, and they're calling it something else. The highway to heaven.
Yeah. Yeah.
But just remember, you're in charge.
Yeah.
So have yourself a lovely day, and know that we'll be with you in a few minutes with our next lecture, Ways I Develop Confidence in My Thought and Spoken Word. So have a lovely morning. I love you. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.